Good evening, everyone. I always enjoy singing night, mainly because I like singing, secondarily because I'm tired of hearing Larry sometimes. So I do enjoy the singing night for that reason. I enjoyed the singing and looking forward to speaking to you tonight. Have any of you ever felt that your parents loved one of your siblings or all of your siblings more than they loved you? I know I've felt that before. And sometimes it was probably justified. I probably gave them a legitimate reason to not like me at the time. And they always give you the classic line, you know, like, you know, we love all of you the same. They, you know, that usual jabber. But we all know that the older kids always get punished more than the younger kids. And they have to cut the grass more than the younger kids do. And it always seems like the older ones get treated worse than the younger ones do. But in all seriousness, that's just kind of a petty example. But in the church, amongst your brethren, have you ever been mistreated by one of them? Have you ever been mistreated by someone that you worship with, that is a fellow member of your church? Don't raise your hand on any of these, but how many of these have happened to you personally? Has anybody ever been extremely judgmental against you and not handled that in the right way? Has anybody ever lied to you? How about somebody that just has never spoken to you? They don't ever take the time to speak to you. You ever had someone gossiped about you, said any rumors about you that they spread to everyone? You ever felt like you were excluded from a particular group of people in your church? And these are just a few things. Have any of these ever happened to you? I feel confident in saying they've probably happened to a lot of us. We've been mistreated, not handled right, and people have shown bias and prejudice against us for whatever reason. I know I've been let down and disappointed by many people. And in contrast to that, I've let down a lot of people in my day. I don't say this to mean that we should never trust anyone, but if we're always putting our confidence in people and in everyone around us, we're going to be let down eventually. People, by nature, are going to do wrong, they're going to sin and fall short, and they're going to disappoint you. Now consider these statements about God. I'm just going to go through these real quick. Acts 10:34. Peter said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality." Romans 2:11, "For there is no partiality with God." Galatians 2:6, "God shows personal favoritism to no man." 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." So it described how people are and how people disappoint you. People let you down. And look at what it says about God. He doesn't let you down. He doesn't show any prejudice. He doesn't show any bias. We serve a God that doesn't care how we look. He doesn't care if you're the best looking guy in your town, in your school, wherever it is. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care what race you are. Doesn't care how much money you make. Doesn't care what degree you got. He doesn't care how athletic you are. Doesn't care what team you go for. We serve a God that doesn't care about any of those. And many times, we associate with the people that have those similar interests to us, don't we? Those people that are like us, that have similar interests, we associate with those people. Those are our friends. Those are the people that we stick up for. But the people that we're not that similar to, we don't stick up for those people as much, do we? We don't show as much love to them because we're not like them. And we serve a God that doesn't care about any of that. He looks at us all the same. And how is that? God shows no partiality. He looks at everyone the exact same. And how does he see us? He sees every single one of us as sinners, doesn't he? He looks at me as a sinner. He looks at you as a sinner. He looks at the guy out on the street, the hobo on the street. He looks at everyone as a sinner all the same. But he does offer good news to change your standing with him. Look in James chapter 4. Turn to James chapter 4. Read verses 7 through 10. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." That's what God asks of us. He looks at us all as sinners, all the same. He doesn't ask you to make more money for Him. He doesn't ask you to look better, to get all this status in the world, become famous. He doesn't ask any of that of us. He wants us to draw closer to Him. And many times when we talk about that, what do we usually say? How do we draw closer to God? By praying to Him, right? And that is true. We need to draw closer to God by praying to Him. But that's not something that is, that's not the only aspect of drawing closer to God. It's a daily way that we live. Whenever you make decisions, if you have a family, who are you considering in all your decisions? You're considering your wife, your kids, and every decision that you make. A lot of decisions that we make can be for selfish, worldly reasons. Do we have God in mind? And I think that's what He means. He wants to be considered in every decision that we make. And the main lesson that I want to get out of tonight is that we don't need to let our worship, our enthusiasm for serving God, how we live our lives, be dictated by how we are treated by people. I think many times we can become bitter at someone in the church, one of our friends, a family member, someone that we barely know. They've mistreated us in some way, and we allow that bitterness to affect everything about the way we live, everything about the way we worship. And the problem with that is that we're letting it affect our service to God when He doesn't change at all. People are going to change. People will disappoint you. People are going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. But God never changes, and we don't need to let people affect our service to Him. Every mistake that I've made in my life, every bad decision I've made, has just about been affected. I was either angry about something, I was sad about something, or I was, I guess, extremely happy. Whatever it was, I was allowing every single emotion that affected me by the people around me to affect the bad decision that I made. And I didn't have God as my main focus. Turn to Romans chapter 14, the last verse we'll read. Romans 14, verses 10 and 12, verses 10 through 12. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. So why do we focus on God and not the people around us? Because God's going to be the one standing there that we're going to be giving all our testimony to, that's going to stand there judging us. It's not going to be that person that mistreated you, that talked bad about you, that spread the rumor about you. God is going to be the one there judging you. And you need to remember that and not let bitterness and anger affect the way you live. We're about to sing an invitation song in just a second, like we conclude every service. And there's not many more things intimidating in the world than coming forward during an invitation song. If we're being honest, this is a very intimidating thing. I've had to do it a couple of times, and I think it feels like your body is just like you're having an out-of-body experience, and you know you can barely feel anything, and you're just numb. And we want you to know that you have every opportunity to come forward, to be baptized, to repent, whatever it may be. But the reason that we offer it at this time is because we don't want to miss out on opportunity. And I can promise you that if you did come forward, every single person in this building would be happy. And if we're being honest with ourselves, we would probably never get the group this big as united on one thing as we do on that one thing, is that everybody would be happy if you made your life right with God tonight. And that's why we offer the invitation now. If you feel the need to be baptized, if you have not become a Christian and you want to do that tonight, or if you were living in sin, you feel the need to make a public confession, or need the prayers of everyone here, whatever needs to be done to make your life right with God, we're here to help you, and we want you to know that. And if either of these are your case, then please come forward now as we stand and sing.